At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oregon State was one of my plays last week. I had to call in some favors to figure out a way to get this game on my television last Saturday night. Made it happen. Watched every second of Oregon State and USC. I don't want to say disappointed. I was surprised that Oregon State's offense couldn't get more going against USC. I was happy with the outcome. I did have a lid on the money line, so I was hoping that the Beavers could pull that game outright, and they were up late in that game. The defense was solid against Caleb Williams and company. Now a new test, and similar to the game we just talked about, right? Wake Forest goes to double overtime at home, loses to Clemson. Oregon State, what a crowd it was in Corvallis, right there leading in the third quarter or fourth quarter. Jordan Addison sneaks into the end zone, and they lose by three. Now you go on the road to Elevation to Utah. Where are you in this game with Oregon State at Utah?
You know, and USC just had a couple better athletes. That's what it came down to. Mm-hmm. Made a play to win a game.
I didn't think Caleb Williams, to be honest.
He wasn't very good.
Wasn't very good in that game.
16 for 36.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did the Pac-12 preview for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, and I thought there was maybe only a few defenses in the Pac-12 that could slow down USC. Oregon State's one. Utah's obviously one. Beavers did a great job. They led that game until 1:15 to go, and Tim – if you had told me before the game that Chance Nolan's going to throw four picks, I would say, let me off these Oregon State bets.
No, thanks.
No, I don't want these. I don't want this money on the Beavers. He throws four picks, and they still have the lead late. So I think you have to give the Beavers some credit for that. Now, when I look at this Utah game, too, the top receiver, who's a tight end mm-hmm. for Utah, Brent Kaith.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out for the season. Kyle Whittingham called that, quote, a big blow to the offense.
Is Oregon State, they still are missing their tight end, too, though, the big boy.
Musgrave. Yeah. Luke Musgrave is out as well. So you could say those cancel each other out, but Oregon State's kind of had
figured it out. Yeah.
I don't know if they figured it out.
Yeah, but they've had to deal with it. I guess
they've had to deal with it the last couple weeks. 10.5 is higher. I made the number here 7.5. So I'm taking a little of perceived extra value on my part with the road dog here. Oregon State, don't forget, won on the road at USC last year and dominated the Trojans at the Coliseum. This team can win on the road in the Pac-12. And Jonathan Smith's been a great underdog coach, Tim. You know the trends.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Oregon State with you last week, and I'm going to stick with the Beavers here. I think this is... Utah's kind of been coasting against some pretty weak opposition since the Florida game, and I think this is going to be another one of those games that should go down to the wire. I'd be disappointed if the Beavers are not really competitive here.
Yeah, this game, 11, I think maybe noon at local up there in Salt Lake City.
Kind of helps, too, that it's not a night game.
Not a night game there. This will be on the good old Pac-12 network. All right, a game that I think you and I both have a play on. This is a game that I did write up. For VSiN.com. 4 p.m. Eastern, SEC Network, 17th-ranked Texas A&M against Mississippi State. Already talked about the potential of a look-ahead spot there for Alabama. I would say it's a look-ahead spot, maybe a little bit for Texas A&M. You could say it's a letdown spot. They just beat their rival in Arkansas. They've had back-to-back top 15 wins, but maybe you could put an asterisk by one of those because their win 2 weeks ago against Miami, Matt, doesn't look so great right now because they got absolutely thumped by Middle Tennessee State.
How about Miami, by the way? Tyler Van Dyke has been benched. His roommate, the best receiver on the team, did not play against Texas A&M. The Hurricanes lose as 25-point home favorites to Middle Tennessee.
First victory.
But you're right. All of a sudden, that Texas A&M win over Miami doesn't look so impressive, does it?
So I look at Mississippi State in this spot. Last week, they kind of got to work out some kinks. They played Bowling Green. They won going away. Will Rogers threw 6 touchdowns in that game. Will Rogers, his third year in this system under Mike Leach, wasn't the full-time starter 3 years ago. He's been completing 74% of his passes, Matt. I knew they do have the loss to LSU, a game that you were on a couple weeks ago here on the podcast. I really like Mississippi State in this spot. Now, it's up to 3.5. I did lay the 3.5. I got a little creative, and I'll get to the other half of a money line parlay a little bit later on the show. But I do like Mississippi State here in this spot. This thing opened as low as 1 at some spots in town. I wish I had gotten in early under a field goal. It is a relatively low total. But you look at Texas A&M, Matt. Offensively, they're averaging 321 yards per game. That's 107th nationally.
Yeah.
But if you remove their season opening win against FCS Sam Houston State, they're averaging 262 yards per game in their last 3 games, Matt, against App State, a loss at home, Miami, and Arkansas. They have been outgained by an average of 112 yards per game. Those 3 opponents have accrued 32 more first downs. And to add insult to injury, Texas A&M doesn't have a whole lot of playmakers. Anaya Smith, their leading wide receiver, done for the year with a leg injury. I really like Mississippi State here in this spot. I think it's a tricky situational spot for the Aggies. And those cowbells are going to be ringing all game long. Give me the Bulldogs, and I will lay the 3.5, and I'll put it in a money line parlay, too, with another spot here, too.
I was going to say, buy the hook.
Yeah. It's a low enough total. Would you say, Matt, let me ask you this, because we talked about teasers. Buying points in college usually isn't the best route to go. However, with a total of around 45, would you say buying the hook here would be a wiser investment than normal?
Well, like you said early in the show, I'm much older than you, and I've bet a lot more games over the years, and nothing ticks you off more than when you lay 3.5 on a game and the team wins by 3.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a quick story. Before the Super Bowl last year, the opener on the Rams-Bengals game, I think, was 3.5, and it went up to 4, mm-hmm. 4.5, and JVT runs into me outside the studio before the show on Monday, and he's like, I laid 3.5 with the Rams. I said, why'd you do that? Don't lay the hook, and stuff like that. Never lay the hook on 3. I never recommend buying the hook unless it's on 3 in football. Buy the hook, okay? Because you're going to lose a lot of games, and mathematicians might dispute the strategy. But believe me, you're going to have – it's worth it for the peace of mind, too, because you hate having the 3 in the hook hanging out there when the game's in the balance. What happened in that playoff game, Tim? The Rams won by 3. The Rams, in fact, won 3 consecutive playoff games by exactly 3 points.
They did, yes. They sure did.
I laid 3 here with by the hook with Mississippi State. You said it best. It's a sandwich spot. You're off the Arkansas game. You got Alabama on deck. Your top wide receiver and NFL prospect, Anaya Smith, just went down for the season. It's already an A&M offense that's anemic. And I don't think, as much as we brag about, or some people brag about how tough this Aggies defense is, has it been tested by a really good passing offense yet? I would say no.
Well, and they gave up a ton of yards to Arkansas.
Right.
They got outgained by 200-plus yards to Appalachian State. They just ran. I mean, Cameron Peoples is still running down there in College Station. So they find ways. I would say they're a bit fortunate. I mean, to win a game on a missed field goal, to get a scoop and score for 80-plus yards. And we talked about turnover regression. Didn't work out at USC. They won plus. They were plus 4 in that game. Still did not cover, thankfully. But I think the luck kind of runs out here. They don't have a good offense. quarterback situation. Jimbo's just laying into Max Johnson any opportunity he can get. Yeah, I feel like this is an opportunity for Mississippi State. 0-1 to start the season.
Don't you like it better, too? The A&M was lucky to win that game against Arkansas.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely.
So it's a better situational spot now to play Mississippi State.
And I'll say this. You mentioned this, too. I love, and it's not blind, but I love when you've got a number 17 team catching points. People who don't invest as much time as you and many of our listeners say, well, I just, the ranked team's catching points. Yeah, I'll just give me the ranked team. You're like, be careful there. So I want to jump to a game that I actually paired this with, and maybe it's a risky situation. I don't want to call it luck. It's been one of the better stories, Matt, but I paired Mississippi State with Iowa State. Now, Iowa State's coming off a loss. They travel to Kansas. Kansas has been the darling of the season. Everyone's, stomping their fists and, saying, why aren't they ranked? They should be ranked. I think Kansas should be a ranked football team right now. They haven't played a defense like Iowa State yet. I think Iowa State's going to be hungry in this spot. Kansas has covered 7 straight games. This line is at 3. If I had to guess right now, this will be one of the more public dogs of the week in Kansas. So
when's the last time you could say that?
Exactly.
Too?
So I put those two together. Maybe it's a bit risky considering Iowa State's a road team, but plus 165 was what I got on a money line parlay, Mississippi State and Iowa State. Because I missed the 3.5, I still did take a little on the 3.5, but I put more on Mississippi State, Iowa State money line because we'll see. We'll see if Kansas now the attention is on them, right? They won that game against Duke last week. They won it by 8. If you laid the set or took the 7.5, that was unfortunate there for you with the Blue Devils. But yeah, this is in a series, and you mentioned it recently about Oklahoma having success against TCU. How about this? They have the last 7 games Iowa State and Kansas have played. Now, you can say this about a lot of teams who play Kansas.
No,
but Iowa State has won by an average of 28 points per game. They've dominated this series. So I'm going to put those two together for a plus 165 money line parlay.
Yeah, if I had to play this game, I would play Iowa State. And I'm not a Matt Campbell guy necessarily. But I think this is one of those crashing back to earth spots a little bit for Kansas. Like you said, a lot of media hype all of a sudden. And who cares about the rankings, really? I think it's a big deal maybe for some of the people in Kansas to say, hey, we're ranked for the first time since the fat man Mark Mangino was here. By the way, he was a hell. I say that out of admiration.
They went to the Orange Bowl.
Mark Mangino did one of the best coaching jobs of all time at Kansas.
Orange Bowl. They were number 2 in the country at one point.
And now you have
Lance Leipold
doing a hell of a job, and he's probably going to move on after this year. But, man, what a great job he's done in Kansas. I think when you look at this number, it tells you to play Iowa State.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with what you're doing here.
All right. Friday night game. We don't usually get to Friday night games, but this one, it's another one of those lines that I would deem a little stinky. I really like Washington. I took a 12-1 on them midseason, not preseason. Once I saw how they were playing, and you look at the schedule, no USC, no Utah. I said they could show up here in Las Vegas, and if they're here in a 12-1 ticket, hedging opportunity aplenty. Washington is on the road at UCLA. It's a late night game on Friday, the type of games that Matt and I love to sit back and enjoy, even though you'll be on the air. But why is this number down to 2.5 at some spots? UCLA has not been tested. The toughest team they played was South Alabama. They were fortunate to win that game, Matt. Is there any home field advantage at the Rose Bowl? I would say no.
Not much.
So Washington, under Kalen DeBoer, anywhere Kalen DeBoer goes, he covers. Eastern Michigan, Indiana, Fresno State, now at Washington, he is a covering machine. This line is scaring me. Why is it 2.5? Only because I think the world is going to see a Washington team on sale in their eyes.
Circus Sports opened this 1. I know Mitch Moss at VSIN, Mitch Moss jumped on Washington -1.
Don't blame him.
I watched a popular show on VSIN hosted by Tim Murray this week, and I think it was Brad Powers who came on and said, you don't even have to wait until Saturday to cash this ticket.
I did.
Bet Washington, right?
Yeah.
And Washington was up to 3.5. Why is it now back down to 2.5?
I don't know.
Anyway.
There are some threes out there still, though, too. if you like UCLA.
So the Bruins have played one of the weakest schedules in the country to this point and had to squeak by South Alabama on a last second field goal at home. But look at
and let's not
I don't even want to say schedule strength because there's no strength in that.
Well, and remember week one, one of the worst beats. I don't know if worst beats. It was a bad beat if you had Bowling Green in that game because they were down to Bowling Green in the third quarter.
No doubt about it. So it's a step up in class for UCLA. Washington's been tested. Kalen DeBoer's got Michael Penix playing at a high level. I'm going to bet Washington here. I'm going to lay the 2.5 or the cheap money line price. I'm going to bet that tonight. And Tim, you can tune in on VSIN Friday as I'm hosting the show. And when Washington's trailing, I'll be throwing stuff around the studio, just like you do when you host the show and things aren't going your way.
No, cool, calm, and collected, Matt. Never, never. Game that you are intrigued by includes your alma mater, Purdue, going on the road to Minnesota. Purdue, life and death with Florida Atlantic last week, but Aiden O'Connell did not play, their starting quarterback. And now here comes the hype train on Minnesota. The Golden Gophers, now 4-0, Matt. People saying they're the clear-cut favorite to come out of the West in the Big Ten. They beat Michigan State. Kudos. I think Michigan State might be really bad. They're over a touchdown underdog on the road this week at Maryland. So now you're seeing Minnesota laying 12 against Purdue.
Well, I think that's an information situation, right?
With Aiden O'Connell.
It looked like early in the week Aiden O'Connell was not going to play. Circus Sports opened at 8. It goes up to 12, 12 and a half. Looked like it was headed to 13. The information I got last night is that unless something unforeseen happens, Aiden O'Connell is going to start in this game Saturday. So I'm taking the 12 and a half here. And the Gophers, again, Tim, it's a case of a team playing a really weak non-conference schedule. You and I sat here 2 weeks ago and we said, hey, this is not the same Michigan State team with Kenneth Walker. And that was before the Spartans went to Seattle and got their butts kicked. And then how often do you see a Michigan State team at home in East Lansing almost get shut out? That was the case last week. Now, you could say that's a sign that Minnesota's a lot better than expected. I would say if you made a number on this game, I didn't see any. It's not like this is a game of the year type of situation with Purdue at Minnesota. But if you made this number before the year, Tim, what would you make it? Minnesota, maybe 6?
Yeah, I would say around a touchdown because they're on the road. And Matt, I want to point something out. You know, overreactions are something that you can play into. You know, why I'm playing Iowa State this week. I think the market has gone a little too nuts on Kansas. They're a good team, but maybe they're not worthy of only being a 3-point underdog to Iowa State.
Right.
Purdue week one was right there with Penn State. Penn
State won the game.
Penn State continues to impress. I had a 3.5 ticket. No big deal. We lost by 4. No, not a big deal at all.
That's should have won the game straight up.
Late touchdown. And Penn State went down to Auburn, won by 29. Yeah. Penn State is a team that some people think can challenge Ohio State when they come to town. Mm-hmm. And that was a 4-point or 3.5-point spread. Right. And now Minnesota is laying 12. So if you do your, you know, math, it would be roughly 9 on a neutral. And then you're saying Minnesota would be a 6-5-point favorite at Purdue. So I think this is an overreaction. If Aiden O'Connell is playing, I would ride with you. I would boil her up, hit that big-ass drum. Chris Ottman-Bell, also the leading receiver for Minnesota, has been lost for the year, something that was pointed out last week. But, you know, people are going to forget that their go-to receiver, really talented player, he's done for the year. So wouldn't disagree whatsoever with you. This seems like market has gone a little too overboard on Minnesota here.
Well, I'm just hoping the information I have is correct that O'Connell's going to play. If it is, I think you're getting a really good number here. A
couple plays you still have out there. I'll get to one that I have, Matt. I think it's another letdown spot. It's Cal versus Washington State. I think this is a really tough spot for Washington State. Mm-hmm. They had that game won against Oregon. And anyone who took the points of Washington State, you deserve that cover. If anyone says that Oregon State was a bad beat, you should slap them in the face. Say, no, you were down 12 with 4 minutes to go, and you somehow were in the cover zone. So happy for anyone who had Washington State to cover in that game. But, Matt, how do you get back up from that after just having your guts ripped out? And this Cal team's actually pretty good.
It's improved offensively.
49-31 last week against Arizona. Jack Plummer, threw for 3 touchdowns. And this running back, Jaden Ott, No relation to our friend Jimmy Ott down in Baton Rouge. 274 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns. And I'll tell you this, Matt, Washington State, they are not great at stopping the pass. Over 600 yards of offense by Oregon last week. And Cal's got a couple receivers. Jeremiah Hunter, 305 yards receiving already this week, this year, I should say. J. Michael Sturdivant, he had some success against Notre Dame. That Notre Dame close call, Matt, looks a little bit better now after their performance against Arizona. And then the final note, shout out to our friend the Bear again. 6 seasons under Justin Wilcox, Cal 24-9 ATS as an underdog with 13 outright wins, and of course a 13.5-point underdog in South Bend, and had an opportunity to force overtime or maybe win the game on a Hail Mary. So I'm taking the 4 with Cal, and I'll put a little on the money line too with the Golden Bears. Oh, by the way, Washington State next week on the road to USC, so could be looking ahead a little bit. Give me Cal in an underdog role here on Saturday afternoon up at Washington State.
Cal Bears team definitely looks like it's on the upswing. Justin Wilcox, one of the best defensive coaches. I talked about Rocky Long, Justin Wilcox right there in that same elite class. I think it is a tricky spot for Washington State. You're right. If you bet the Cougars and took the points last week, that would have been a crime if you didn't get the cover. So fortunately, it worked out that way. Yeah, it is a tricky spot for State here, and I would lean Cal, but I have not played this game right now. I'm not sure anybody else picked up on that, but Tim called him Jack O'Connell. And last year, Jack Plummer was the backup to Aiden O'Connell. So very good,
put
Tim.
Put them all together.
I like how you did that. That was pretty good.
I just have Purdue always on my mind. All right, let's get to a couple games that you've played. And one that I actually played early on in this week, and my partner Sean King called me crazy. When Nebraska was under a field goal at open, Matt, I had to take the Cornhuskers. Indiana's terrible.
I laid the 2.
I think I got 2.5. Mm-hmm. It opened 1, and it immediately went to 5, I think, here at Circa.
I didn't even see it open 1. I thought it opened 2. That was the first number I saw.
It was the first play I had of the week. I laid it with the Corn night game there. I know I was on Nebraska with you against Oklahoma. It was a disaster. But Indiana, folks, they're that bad. And I'll point this out. Indiana, I don't think, had really much business beating Illinois. I don't think they had business beating Western Kentucky. So give me the boys
Indiana
from
Lincoln.
Indiana
trailed Idaho at halftime.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, right now, Matt, let me ask you this, because you laid it early. The number right now,
4.5 or 5.
Yeah, is 5.5 out there, too. What would be your stop point? Do you think anything under a touchdown? I think Nebraska has a chance to blow them out.
I think Nebraska should win this game by double digits.
They should.
I mean, you had a week off. Cornhuskers had a week off to regroup after the Oklahoma embarrassment. Hey, Indiana is not Oklahoma. And the Hoosiers don't win on the Big Ten road too often. I was really surprised that Circus Sports opened this number. You said 1.
I think it was 1.
I saw Nebraska 2. That was the first number I said. Wow, less than a field goal.
It was 2. You're right. It was 2. It was 2.
Made Nebraska a 6-point favorite in this game, and I probably would have still laid it. I think the situation sets up off the bye week for the Huskers. You're going to get their best effort. And like I said, Indiana's not known to be a team that plays well on the road. And you're still talking about a Nebraska team. I know the preseason numbers were wrong, Tim, but Nebraska's season win total was 7.5. Indiana's season win total, what, 4?
I played under 4.5. And I'm sweating it right now because they won 3 games already.
Two of those, Indiana should not have beat Illinois, should not have beat Western Kentucky.
I think it was Bill Conley who, after 3 games, looked at where teams should be. You know, have they exceeded or underachieved? And Indiana, after 3 games, had exceeded win expectancy by 1.6 games, which is just, as an under 4.5 ticket holder, makes you feel phenomenal inside, warm and fuzzy right there. So do me a solid here, Nebraska, take care of business. And then the last one we'll hit on here, Matt. Auburn and LSU. You have backed LSU. You backed them a couple weeks ago. I agreed, and they took care of business. They beat Mississippi State at home. Auburn is ready to fire their head coach, Brian Harsin. If Missouri's running back doesn't drop the ball running into the end zone, maybe they do fire Brian Harsin. So I got to imagine not many people are racing to take the points at home for Auburn, but is this a spot, Matt, where it's just a little bit too much? You're looking at 8 points for Auburn at home against LSU.
Yeah, and a couple days ago, this number was 9, and it looked like it was headed to 10. And I was on with Mitch and Paul on Follow the Money, and I said, I'm taking Auburn plus 9. And I put about a half unit bet on it because I thought maybe, hey, this is going to go to 10. Nobody's going to want to bet Auburn. And don't kid yourself. Brian Harsin's done, no matter what happens. Auburn's 3-1, ugly wins against San Jose, Missouri. It's just an offense that's got nothing going on right now, 217 total yards. I think Robbie Ashford could make a difference. You had to get T.J. Finley out of there at quarterback. Robbie Ashford is a 6'3", dual-threat freshman who's got a chance to maybe mature and grow up a little bit. Tank Bigsby is still one of the best running backs in the SEC, but you can stack the box right now. He has not been that effective. I'm going on trends here and a little bit of information that, and this is not going to surprise you, Tim, I've heard from two insiders that these LSU players absolutely hate Brian Kelly. And it's not just, you know, Jaden Daniels probably likes him because he made him a starting quarterback and he's reviving his career a little bit. But I'm told the whole team hates Kelly and they don't want to play for him. And everybody inside the building in the athletic department hates Brian Kelly.
Oh.
So there's a lot of negativity going on. Hey, but if Kelly wins this game, he's 4-1 with a 1-point loss. I still say he's a great coach. Point spread history here. It's just series history in conference. LSU does not play well at Auburn. You go back 10 years, LSU is 2-3 at Auburn. The wins by 2 and 1 point. The losses by 34, 37, and 5 points. I think this is an Auburn team. Let's say a couple weeks ago, Auburn's a 3-point home dog to Penn State. Now it's 8 to LSU. I took the 9 with Auburn. I'll say still take the 8, 8.5. I'll go with the home dog here. There's not much to like, but sometimes you got to play these ugly home dogs.
Yeah, AJ McCarron said this week that he had already been fired, Brian Harsin.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah, he won't be coming back, but maybe he'll get a 7-point loss for Matt, and that'll make him happy. Let's get to a recap here of our top plays.
Best bet recap.
All right, Matt, I will run through mine real quickly again. Took the 4 with Cal. On the Palouse, a letdown spot there. I'm with you on Mississippi State, but I'm going to pair it with Iowa State. Moneyline parlay, plus 165 there, so hopefully we can cash a little plus money. Some smaller plays. I mentioned Nebraska. I laid it early in the week, so doesn't count for you for the podcast. I took 22 at Texas State. That's a hold your nose, hold on to your butt special there. James Madison coming off a huge win over Appalachian State. I think Wes Reynolds wrote that up for VSiN.com. And then haven't decided yet on Friday, but a lean on UTSA would probably go moneyline. A little nervous just because of the injuries that they have. So that would be my my plays this week. Matt, your plays?
All right, we're going Arkansas plus 17.5, Iowa plus 11. Tim, those are going to be the half unit plays this week. Okay?
Oh, I'll join you on Iowa for a smaller play too. Yeah.
It's hard.
What could go wrong?
It's hard to bet too much on Iowa. Arkansas and Iowa, half unit, big home dogs. We're going with Oregon State plus 10.5, Mississippi State minus 3, Nebraska, we'll say minus 5, Auburn plus 8, Purdue plus 12.5.
All right, there you go. Those are Matt's plays. Adam Burke has chimed in, and he is rolling with all MAC teams. No, I'm just kidding. That was Matt Heumann's prediction there.
I said one Sun Belt team.
Yeah, too. He is going with the Washington Huskies on Friday night. Okay. Lay the 2.5 there. He's very patriotic this week. He's going with Army against Georgia State. Felt like this is a really bad situational spot for the Panthers, who are still winless, by the way. He is going to lay the 7.5 with Army. He's also going to take the over in Navy Air Force, which actually has been the move so far this week, Matt. This opened as low as 34.5 at Circa Sports. It has bet up to 38. He will take the over there in Navy and Air Force. And then he is going, I actually like this play. We didn't talk about this game. He's riding with the Fighting Brett Bielemas. He's going to take the 7 on the road at Wisconsin, an 11 a.m. local kick there up at Camp Randall. Wisconsin coming off the loss there. I don't hate that bet. I think they could run the ball against Wisconsin. Bielema obviously has history with the Badgers. So Adam Burke riding with the Illinois Illini on the road catching the 7.